I bring greetings from Lagos, Nigeria, from Sovereign Grace Bible Church. Lagos has a population of about 20 million people, and God saved us recently from Ebola, and I believe that you prayed for us, and many of you remembered us in Sovereign Grace Bible Church. And we have an insurgency up in the north, about 1,000 miles from Lagos. But the insurgency is still felt, even in the south. As a church, we gather materials and we do send these materials to the internally displaced people up in the north. And I thank you for your patience, and I hope you will not sleep and my accent will not affect some of you. Amen. Pastor Joe, I don't know whether I should introduce this or leave it. Okay. The Blessed Children Ministry, we have a ministry to the children around the church premises. The people we minister to are not members of the church, but we have a ministry to children in the neighborhood. We do believe that our generation and even the generation of young people, they've lost it, and that it's the ministry to children that would indeed restore or help to restore biblical practices, true Christianity in our own time. So we have this Blessed Children's Ministry, and as a DVD that has been reproduced, and if you would like to take a copy just to see some aspects of the ministry to children, please feel free to ask for a copy, and we'll give it to you. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, O Lord God Almighty, for the opportunity to share that which you have given to us in your word to edify the church, to encourage the church, to correct us, and to equip us and to help us in the work of the ministry and in our lives. Even as we look to you to help us at this time, give us of your spirit, O Lord, even in the measure that you have given to us since morning, and help each and every one of us, O Lord, to truly be edified, to be encouraged, especially these times that are evil. We pray that you help each and every one of us to hear your words and to be refreshed. Thank you, O Lord God Almighty, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, my text is from Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read many passages of the Bible. And Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 and 11 and 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The title of the address is Put on the Whole Armor of God. So my focus this afternoon is to remind each and every one of us of God's appointed means of preserving the life, light, and love of Christ Jesus our Lord. We all know that change and decay surround us. At least in my own country, so much corruption, moral decay, and all that are abominable surround the church, especially false religion. And Nigeria is known to be the exporter of what we imported from America. We exported to the rest of Africa. And I understand that even now we are exporting it to Europe and even parts of the United States of America. So corruption everywhere. But we are called to preserve the life, light, and love of Christ Jesus our Lord. So being like Jesus Christ, being like him, Christ-likeness is the goal. And the enemy is against this. If we are truly born from above, and we are truly the sons of God, if we are true Christians, we are to be like Christ. And the first scripture which I would like to share with you is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. In 1 John chapter 3, we read, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." And looking at this verse or this portion of scripture, we see that the goal is that we shall be like Christ Jesus. And clearly the way to do this, or the way suggested in the scripture, is that we begin to find a way. The scripture says that for us to be like Christ when he comes, we will move away from the corruption that is there. Because in verse 3, it says, "And every man that had this hope in him purified himself even as is pure." There is a spiritual war going on. Individual, and each and every one of us, a Christian, we are involved in this. It's not a moral conflict. It's not an ethical conflict. It is a war in the invisible realm. And it has been mentioned here in various ways. God knows about this, and we ought to know about this. And because he knows about this, he has given us a way out. He has written and given us a message on how to preserve our testimony of Christ Jesus in the face of much corruption. We have to hold on to the image of Christ Jesus that we have. So all of us who are here, who are Christians, we ought to know about this. The Holy Spirit inspired Apostle Paul to use his imprisonment in Rome to teach us certain things about our spiritual warfare. In Acts chapter 28, if you'll turn there, I will just, it's a historical parable. Something happened, but it's a historical parable, and I believe that we ought to see something about spiritual warfare. In Acts chapter 28, in verse 16, the second part of it, we are told that Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And in verse 30, we are told, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man for bidding him." This is a historical parable, and there are things to learn here concerning a spiritual warfare. We are told here that he was chained to a soldier, even in his private apartment. He was there chained all the time, but nobody stopped him from the work of the ministry. Indeed, we read that he taught those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. He kept and taught confidently the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ for as long as it lasted. No man forbade him from the work of the ministry. He wrote the prison letters and sent them to the churches, and the letter to the Ephesians is one of these prison letters. So the chaining of Apostle Paul to a Roman soldier can be seen as how close the enemy is to every Christian. That's why it's a historical parable, for he was there, but nothing stopped his ministry. But the soldier was there, and he was chained to this soldier. And we know that in the passage I read to you, he so observed the clothing of the soldier that he used it as a metaphor to tell us about the armor of God, so close to him. So this is what we should know, that you, a Christian, Apostle Paul is emphasizing that we should know that somehow we have this enemy around us. And of course, it is a spiritual battle. And for as long as he was in prison, he was able to find out how we can get the victory. So how he got the victory over the enemy is what we have in the text that I read to you. The enemy is after the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have. He purposes to corrupt this testimony, to weaken it, and to wash it away from our mind, if possible. I'm sure that you know about Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. In Revelation 12, we are told about Satan from 13. We are told, and when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into the place, to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. And in verse 17, we are told, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the picture. The enemy is close to each and every one of us. So close. And is after the testimony of Jesus Christ that we have. And if you're a true believer and you have the testimony of Jesus Christ and you obey the commandments of God, is after you. It's after you. The closeness to you is as close as the soldier was to Apostle Paul. And we should see this as a historical parable. And so what does Apostle Paul say to us in our text in verse 10? He says, finally, my brethren. And finally, my brethren, those who are born again, all who have been born from above, all who were given to the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world by God the Father, all who will be brought into glory by the captain of our salvation, he now instructs us and says, be strong in the Lord. Take your stand, he says, in the Lord. Maintain your genuineness in the Lord. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, he says. Our glory is in Christ Jesus. Our glory is not in anything in the world. And so we should be strong in him. We will be glorified. You remember that he came to this world. The world hated him, still hates him. And he was not received in this world. The world killed him, and we know the story. But praise God, and we thank him that it was through this death, a way back to God was opened for man. And every man is called by the gospel to forsake present way of life and enter into the way that back to God, which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ opened for us by his death and resurrection. We praise him for that. Amen. So he is the way, the truth, and the life. When we obey the call of the gospel to repent and believe him, we are united with him. And he says, be strong in that union. We should be strong in the Lord. That's the command. We must maintain our stand in the Lord. We must be genuine Christians. And the question is for you to consider this afternoon, are you a genuine Christian? In addition to being strong in the Lord, verse 10 of our text, Ephesians 6:10, says we should be strong in the power of his might. So God has deployed supernatural power, the power that he alone has, and we should be strong in the power of his might. And when we are born again, among the gracious blessings which we receive as children of God, we have this power that is deployed to us. And if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, we read what has been given to us. In Ephesians 1, from verse 16, the apostle says, he ceases not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and so on. So we are to be strong in the power of this might. And this power is a spiritual power. It is the resurrection power. It is victorious power, and God has deployed it to help us in our pilgrimage. And it is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we get into it by faith in him. It is the Spirit of the Lord, our God, who the Holy Spirit, given to us at our regeneration, that ministers this power to us. And this can be seen when we read Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14 downwards. It's the Spirit that ministers this power into us. So we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Apostle Paul, chained to the Roman soldier, was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The soldier was strong in the power of the state, this wickedness that was there. And his was physical because he was there clothed with all that he had. Apostle Paul was there clothed in the power of God. It was an invisible power, and he had the full armor of God with him. And what happened during the imprisonment and, you know, in between all the things he was doing is what we have as a parable to tell us how we should survive in this evil times, because it is a spiritual battle, and we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so he used all the things that he saw from the soldiers that were chained to him to teach us what the Lord, from his victory, because he had victory through that period, and he's teaching us what we should be doing at this time. He experienced the victory promised. He was inspired to write what is written. And the apostle, indeed, if we think about it, he let the Lord work out his will in his life. He left the Lord, who has promised not to forsake or leave us, to fulfill the promise, to will, and to do according to his good pleasure in his life and ministry. So how did this manifest? How was this shown? And clearly, you can see that he prayed. He must have been praying, because there's no other thing that he did other than to stay there and kept calling upon this power that he has been promised. He kept praying, asking the Lord to cause him to truly maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Kept saying, I must be a genuine Christian. I must be a genuine Christian. Everything about Hebrew of Hebrews and all the other things must not come up here. I must be a genuine Christian. Lord, you are my God. And he stayed there, praying, calling upon this being strong in the power of the Lord, being strong in the Lord. And that's what we must do. Being surrounded by all these things happening around us, each and every one of us must call upon the Lord so that we'll be strong in him and in the power of his might. And being strong in the power in the Lord and being strong in the power of his might is to receive the graces which we need to be genuine Christians. And these graces are listed for us in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, from 1 to 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. These graces come, lowliness, meekness, longsuffering, love for one another. You can imagine all the difficulties and all the emotional problems that Apostle Paul must have felt when he was in prison, chained to this to the state, to the wickedness that was there, chained, and all the things that would have come up there. And he had to be a good Christian, a genuine Christian, and he had to continue to pray that these graces which God has supplied to us in salvation should be part, be ministered to him. And being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might helps us to put on the armor of God. Because if you're not strong, if you're not a genuine Christian, there's no way you can put on the armor of God. And that's what is what is being taught us here. Because you have to be strong in the Lord, because he said so. Be strong in the power of the might, and then put on the whole armor of God. So if you are not a genuine Christian at these evil times, and you have to check your life to know whether you're a genuine Christian, and then, since the armor belongs to God, the armor will come to you. He will give it to you. But you can't, you know, be a hypocrite, and then you think that the armor of God will come to you. No. And once you judge and know that the enemy is so close, it's in your kitchen, it's at your workplace, it's in your car, it's so close. And we need to be strong in the Lord constantly at this time. That's the only way we can preserve Christ in our lives. But many of us don't realize this. So careless, my country, and I believe, you know, here as well. And so the armor of God is his armor, and it's invisible, and it's to be put on for the war against the wiles of the devil, in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 6 tells us. And of course, mentioning the wiles of the devil tells us that we ought to know that we are dealing with the devil. We're dealing with the tricks of the devil. And it has been mentioned, so much has been said about these tricks since this conference, since this morning. The devil is real, and God knows him, and God can deal with him. So we're encouraged. We just know what the Bible tells us about him. is revealed as the devil, that is the accuser of the brethren. And I don't know about you. Sometimes when you go to the throne of grace, then he begins to accuse. So he's still the accuser of the brethren. And he's revealed to us as Satan, the adversary, the enemy of God, my enemy, your enemy, the enemy of the church. He's known as the God of this age. And all, with all the things that it means. And he's a tempter, he's a murderer, he's a liar. He dealt with Job. And all the things that the Bible reveals about him. He's a serpent, he's a deceiver. He also disguises himself, and most recently, in our own time, he disguises himself as an angel of light. He's so close. He has an organization, the Bible tells us, that is so well structured, and he has thousands of years of experience, right from the Garden of Eden till now. Thousands of years of experience. And we who are Christians, we are not even aware that he's so close to us. He's chained to us. And we ought to be aware of this. And we must make sure that we put on the armor of God. So the Ephesians chapter 12 tells us about the command structure. And I don't want to go into all this because even as Pastor Larry said, we should not go into demonology and all that. So we won't go there, but the Bible tells us that they are well-structured. The empire, the devil, is well-structured. But we have to keep the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation tells us that he's after it. He will water it down. He will water it down. He will corrupt it. And that's exactly what he is doing. And we must preserve the light, the life, and the love of Christ. And this is a responsibility for each and every one of us. So thank God that we have help. God has provided us with a full armor, and in the text, he commands us to put it on. And so Apostle Paul himself, watching the soldiers, used all the articles of the clothing of the soldiers. I use it as a metaphor to tell us about the armor of God. It's not physical. It's invisible. We're asked to put it on. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, we are told that we should put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So that again opens up this, what it means to put on the whole armor of God. We are told in Romans 13, 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Again, this tells us that it is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when you have an inclination to support your flesh. Once the desire to be an American comes, there is a signal, an alarm. Once a desire that you are a PhD, that it's coming, there's an alarm ringing. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a genuine Christian, or are you, who are you? Are you a Christian? Anything about the flesh trying to erupt and we to take a stand and say, I am, you know, that is an alarm bell. The devil is near. We have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins to explain to us what it means to put on all these articles of the armor that God, because he's our protection. The Lord is our protection. And then he lists these things out, and I'm sure you have done some study on this, but it's good to remind us of this God-given armor. So verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6 says that you should stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And clearly, when you consider this article of clothing, or this portion of the armor, he says we should not be hypocritical. Are you a hypocrite in your Christianity? Like the Pharisees of Matthew chapter 23, we ought to girdle our minds with the truth and deal with any besetting sins in our lives. That's what it means. Girdle your mind, and we know that 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 tells us that the loins are the loins of our mind. So when we begin to tie the truth in our mind, then tradition will go, all the cultural things will go, because the truth of God's word, the truth of our Christianity will as we're tightening it, and it's like asking the Lord, make me a genuine Christian. And then, of course, the breastplate of righteousness covers the heart and the back. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 following, that it is the thing that defiles us is in the heart. And we have this breastplate of righteousness. That means deal with your besetting sin. And this concerns all of us. Deal with your besetting sin. And don't be a hypocrite. Be a genuine Christian. Are you? Because the devil will accuse us, and once he comes and says, Tony, you are hypocritical, and so on, what do? I call upon him, because I have put him on. I call upon him. See, I plead the blood. I hold on to him. And I must do this constantly. So I wonder how it has been with you, my brother, my sister. Have you been accused as a hypocrite recently? Has the devil told you, how come you are coming to a holy God to pray, and has he told you this? When you have adulteries and fornications and so on in your mind, has he ever come telling you this? And what should you do? You have to put on the whole armor of God. And in this aspect, you must not be a hypocrite. Agree. Clear the deck. Put on, tell him, the accuser is the accuser, and God has defeated the accuser. We have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we must put on the whole armor. We should not be shaking concerning our Christianity. Amen? In verse 15, it tells us, if the loins and breast are clothed in Christ Jesus, then in his righteousness, then the feet ought to be fitted with the right shoes. And these shoes of Christ Jesus, this is the gospel shoes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are firm. They are firm. And the Apostle Paul, looking at the Roman soldier and seeing how the shoes were constructed, showed that the shoes will indeed hold on even when they're walking through quicksand. So we have to be firm in our Christianity. We must be firm in our doctrines. We must not shift. And as we have the opportunity, we preach the gospel. We must have this. So we meet people, relationships, in the office, everywhere we go, we must stand firm, because we are putting on the shoes, the gospel shoes. And as we have the opportunity, we preach and tell people about the gospel of peace. So we must take on the armor for our feet. And this is asking the Lord, oh Lord God Almighty, in prayer, we're asking, help me to stand firm. Oh Lord, help me to understand all these false doctrines coming. Oh Lord, help me to know how to deal with the new Calvinists. Oh Lord, help me to know what to do with the Acts 29 people. Oh Lord, help me to stand firm and never shift. And as I have the opportunity, I should preach the gospel of peace. And then the armor of faith. And this is to trust the Lord. To trust him. He's our strong tower, is he not? He saved Lot in the midst of homosexual world. Didn't he save Lot? Wouldn't he save us now. We should trust him. We should trust him. He saved Peter even when he was pinned down by four quaternions of soldiers. You remember? He would save us. We should trust him. There should not be any doubt concerning our salvation. We should trust him. This is the shield of faith. No matter what happens, we must trust him. And then we ought to also regard our salvation. That's verse 17, talking about take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need to accept and regard highly our salvation and think about the Lord Jesus Christ, where he is now. Many pulpits are not preaching about heaven, especially in my own country, talking about solutions, solutions, solutions. But we should take highly our salvation, accept what God has done, and truly be delighted in it, in that which God has done. We must remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ constantly and the salvation that he has given to us and where he is even now. And the Spirit's offer of the Word of God, because the Spirit gives us the Word of God. Not someone else's view of the Word of God. I keep telling my people back home in Lagos that I want them to write their own devotionals. I don't want them to buy devotionals from outside. Write your own devotionals. Let the Spirit give you some understanding of the Word of God. And this is what this is part of the armor that you must get from the Word of God, what the Spirit has for us. Let the Spirit teach you of Christ and his salvation out of the Bible, and regard what the Spirit teaches you as very, very highly, and as you regard your salvation. We must consider our salvation. We must say we are true Christians and stand by the Word of God, the conviction that we have. And verse 18 indeed tells us the last part of this, the armor, saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and so on. So you can imagine Apostle Paul in his waking times, when he's not dealing directly with the church or with somebody, what he will be doing. And here we are told, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's going into the holy place, my brother, my sister. It is being a priest. It is wearing all the churches and all the people on your chest and going and calling upon the Lord. This is part of the armor. Praying constantly, and Dr. Downing has stressed it again. Praying constantly, and indeed putting on all the other all the articles of the armor of God is through praying. So I can imagine in between when he's not sleeping and so on, he'll be saying, "Lord, make me a genuine Christian. Lord, take away this, humble me, give me the grace." He will be crying and calling upon the Lord. And then he will remember the Ephesian church. He will remember them one by one and he will call upon the name of the Lord. He will remember the Philippians and so on. He will continue to pray. And so must we. And I wonder whether that has been what we have been doing. So, brother and sister, this is a spiritual warfare. It is for us to be engaged with the one who has the power. We don't have the power. All power belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be engaged with him. And he says, before you engage with me, be a priest. He saved us and brought us to the holy place. In the Old Testament, the priest, before going into the holy place, would have a specified uniform, specified clothing. He saved us, brought us to the holy place, and said, we are priests and kings to his Father, and we should be there, clothed with this armor of God, I believe. We have to be strong in him and in his power, clothed in this armor that he has given to us. And if we don't, be sure that we'll be weakened and we'll be giving the enemy a chance to water down the gospel. And this is a way of, indeed, an explanation of what is happening. The church is not praying. The church is not in the holy place. The church is outside. But the Lord has saved us and brought us to the holy place. Shouldn't we come back to the holy place and truly preserve the life, the light, and the love of Christ and put on the whole armor of God? We should. And that's where I end my address. May God grant us power and help us to truly trust him in this. Amen.